Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Eternity, by definition, is this. It's on your outline. Infinite time, duration without beginning or end. Why would we do a teaching? Why would we do a series, take 1 month to talk about eternity? Let me just read a couple scriptures to you. They're not on your outline, but let me read a couple scriptures to you, tell you why I think it's important that we talk about eternity. In 1st and 2nd Timothy, pastoral epistles, Paul was pouring into the life of Timothy, this young man that was going to pastor the world's largest church, and wanted him to know what he was going to have to look forward to. And so he's instructing him in 1st and 2nd Timothy. And in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he says, the Holy Spirit tells us that clearly in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. There's a true faith, is there not? Some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are seared as dead. In chapter 6, he goes on to say this, teach these things, the things that he has just mentioned, teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teachings, but these are wholesome. Listen to the words Paul uses. These are wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. So the Bible tells us that in the last days, there are going to be false teachers and deceivers, and some of those will come packaged in what the end days are going to look like. In other words, what's eternity going to look like? Depending on what you've packed and what you're teaching from, that's going to shape your view of eternity. But God in His Word says that as we stick to wholesome teachings, they promote a godly life. So as we understand eternity, because we are all on a destination somewhere, and as we understand eternity and where we're going and what we need to take for the journey, not only is that going to be beneficial for us, but also beneficial for other people. There are lots of misconceptions about eternity. And so our goal over the next month is to talk about what does the Bible teach about eternity. The Bible teaches some very clear things about eternity. Wouldn't it be just like the devil to try to twist and pervert the reality of what the scriptures say? And he's not going to try to flip it upside down, but what he's going to try to do is just tweak it enough that as we start following the tweaking of that slightly, you do that for a year, you do that for 2 years, it doesn't seem like you're getting too far off course, but you start going a little bit sideways for a year or two or 5 or 10 years, before you know it, you're heading in a completely different direction. And so here's what God says in the book of Ecclesiastes. Wonder why God said this. God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted, listen to this, He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning. So in the beginning of time, God saw it important enough that He was going to plant in the heart of every person eternity. So it's anchored in the heart. So it, if you will, becomes the GPS in our life. Eternity is a GPS. In other words, everybody is going to get to eternity. And the truth is, there's one of two places you're going to go. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. There's no in between. It's either heaven or hell. And here's what I thought about. I wrote it on my outline. If the destination is eternity, say it is. Yes. Say it is like you mean it. Yes. If the destination is eternity, what you choose then gets you where you're going. What you and I choose will get us where we're going. So all along the way, we have to choose what the scripture teaches so that we end up at the right destination. And so that's what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks. We're going to unzip the bag a little bit tonight and take out a few things, maybe do it just an overview of eternity. And then over the next 3 weeks, we're actually going to get in and we're going to talk about specific things that the Bible teaches about heaven and about hell and about our lives. So you ready for that? Yes. Okay, so I'm going to just give you a few views of eternity. These are views that are out there in our world today. These are some of the views that people hold today. Some of the people that hold the views that I'm going to mention very briefly are people that are in the church universal. Some of these are people that are outside of the church. Nevertheless, these are some of the views that are held today about eternity. And we're going to go through them briefly, but I would encourage you to do this. This is like an apologetic study. We're digging into the Word and we're unpacking the Scriptures in such a way that we're discovering doctrinally what the Bible teaches about eternity, about heaven and about hell. So I want to encourage you over the next few weeks to dig in for yourselves. Dig in for yourselves, dig into the Word and start unpacking the Word so you can really get a firm grasp on what the Word teaches about eternity, so that when and if, I shouldn't say if, when these other doctrines start floating by, that we will quickly reject them. Amen? We need to quickly reject those. So here's one. The theological doctrine that all men will finally be saved or brought back to holiness and to God is universalism. That is not biblical, but that is a belief about eternity. It's called universalism. The doctrine that all men will finally be saved or brought back to holiness with God. If everybody's going to be saved eventually, then why live according to the Scriptures today? I mean, when you really think about these things and unpack these and put them within the parameters of the Scriptures, they fall apart very quickly. And so we rightly divide the word of truth and we understand what Scripture teaches, then we're not going to be easily tossed back and forth. The naturalist will tell you that you do not have a soul. You just have a body, and when you die, you cease to exist. There is no existence of any sort or any kind following your death. That is the naturalist. And say, that is not true. It is not true. You have a soul that is going to live eternally. We have a soul, and we're going to prove it through Scripture. Over the next month, we are going to prove it through Scripture so that we solidly know, based on what the Bible teaches, that these things are not true. Now, these things can be packaged very pretty. And that's why it's important that we understand the truth, because if they're wrapped pretty, but inside they're filled with poison and death, we need to know that. We can't be mesmerized by the wrappings and the packaging. We need to know what's on the inside, do we not? That's what is important. It's just like with teachers of the Scriptures. We need to know what's inside of them that's being poured out, because the package can look slick and it can look polished, but if it's not the Word, then it's not the Word. The belief that the soul upon death of the body comes back to earth in another body or form is reincarnation. It is not true, but it's believed. And it's believed by many religions, many doctrines. Number four is this, and I said I'm going to go through this quickly. This is your homework to unpack this more thoroughly on your own. Number four, that which suggests that when people don't know Jesus and they die, they simply cease to exist, or they suffer for a while in hell, and then they eventually ceased to exist. That's the annihilationist. Eventually, your body is just, your soul is just completely annihilated. There's nothing left, and so there is no torment. There's no eternity. It's a teaching that's out there. Annihilationism. Number five is this, which, by the way, is nowhere found in the Bible because it's not true. Purgatory teaches that people can die and then suffer for a while as part of the finishing of their work of salvation so that ultimately they might be in heaven. That would be the thought that you can somehow purge and purify yourself and earn your right or earn your way into heaven. Now, there's people that believe that. Now, why are there people that believe that? Because they're taught that. Because whatever bag they have in life, and depending on who's packed that bag for them and what's inside of that bag, that's going to direct the destination that they come to. So for some of us, maybe what we have to do is we have to unpack some of the things that we've learned in the past. I grew up in a denominational church that promoted the understanding of purgatory, and that there was somehow this place that I could get, if I couldn't quite make it there, that I could make it here and then somehow eventually arrive there. And it all sounds good, but it's not biblical. So we want to be biblical, do we not? Okay, now let's look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. A lot of text here, and I want to read it to you. And again, remember what we're doing tonight. We're kind of doing just an outline of what we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks. Let me just say this about ministry Jesus style. Jesus needs to be our model for ministry in life because Jesus will never let us down. That is a true statement. But if you study out the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, Jesus always did what was most loving. You can mark that in the life of Jesus. There were times in Jesus' ministry that what was most loving at the time was to heal someone, was to raise someone from the dead, was to comfort those that were weeping and grieving. But what's most loving is how Jesus did ministry. And oftentimes what Jesus did that was most loving was he spoke truth. That is most loving. What is most loving is to speak truth because Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. So as we look at this parable, this story that Jesus is telling, on the surface is a little troubling, but why would Jesus tell this story? Because he is doing what's most loving. Because he loves people and he wants people to know about the reality of the future. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there, longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores." Disciples are probably thinking, "Jesus, what in the world are you telling us this story for?" "Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and there was buried, and his soul went to the place of the dead." Other translations say, "to hell." "There in torment," notice that word, torment, this man is in hell. "There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames.' But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here and being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides," notice this, "there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over from us to there.' The rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote.' The rich man replied, 'No, Father Abraham. If someone is sent to them from the dead, they will repent of their sins and turn to God.' But Abraham said, 'If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead.'" Wow. So Jesus is telling this story about two individuals. Obviously, one of them dies and he's in heaven. The other one dies and he is in hell. And the story describes specifically what hell is like. And I'm not going to unpack a lot of the literal descriptions of hell. I promise you're going to get a lot of that this month, and heaven as well. But the reality of it is Jesus is talking about two clearly different places. So on your outline, both heaven and hell, write this in, are literal places. Both heaven and hell are literal places. They are places. Jesus is talking about literal places. This is not an allegory. Jesus is talking, and how do we know that? Because when you study out the ministry of Jesus, when you study out the scriptures, you see supported through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the fundamental teachings all the way through of heaven and hell. Old Testament and New Testament. So these are literal places. It's important that we understand that. So on this journey of mine, I turned 50 last month. I got however many years left. One day when I get there, I am going to be in eternity. And depending on what I have packed in this bag, I am either going to be in heaven or in hell. Now that doesn't unpack pretty for everyone, but Jesus always did remember what is most loving, and what was most loving is tell the truth, right? Say right. Okay, I just want to make sure you're with me. Now, imagine this for just a second. Imagine you're an astronaut and you're going to the moon. And someone says to you, "What do you know about the moon?" And you say, "Nothing at all." In their minds, they're going to think, "Are you crazy? You are planning to go somewhere and you know nothing about where you're going. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we live on planet Earth and not want to know about where we're going to end up? And not only not want to know about it, want to make sure that we know which direction we go to end up where we want to end up. Doesn't that make sense? And so that's why we're going to unpack this. So I'm going to give you a few things tonight just to hopefully whet our appetites in such a way that we'll come back so that after the month of June, we can be confident in knowing what we believe the Bible teaches about eternity, so that when we come across people at work, when we come across other family members that hold to a different view than what the Bible teaches, we know how to deal with that. So number six then on your outline is this. The Bible says much about eternity. 13%, approximately 13% of Jesus' ministry was spent talking about eternity. 13%. Approximately half of the parables relate to the future and eternity. I mean, think about that. 3.5 years of ministry Jesus has, and approximately 13% of his ministry is spent talking about eternity. He talked often about to his disciples about, "I'm going to my Father, and I'm going there, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." And he talked about that, and in his parables, this is one of those parables that we're unpacking. Jesus is talking about eternity, and he's talking about this rich man and all of the things that this rich man is experiencing after he's gone on to eternity. So if Jesus spent that much time talking about it, shouldn't we spend enough time understanding it? We need to understand what that means. So number seven there are two distinct locations. I just mentioned that. But there are two distinct locations. There's not other places. Jesus talked about heaven and he talked about hell. That is where eternity ends. It ends there. It ends in heaven or it ends in hell. Now, one of the questions, and there's many questions that people ask about a loving God. If God is love, we know God is love, the Bible says that God is love, then how could he send people to hell? That question is phrased the wrong way. God doesn't send anybody to hell. God does not send anybody to hell. Matter of fact, he did everything possible to make sure that we understood that there's a better way. And the way is to follow and to trust what Jesus Christ came to do for us. He came to give his life a ransom for many. But here's what oftentimes people will do, and we need to be careful with this. If God is love, then how could God somehow allow people to go to hell? Here's what we have to understand. God is love. God is love, but love is an attribute of God. God is love. Don't ever elevate one of the attributes of God over God himself. God is also holy. God is also righteous. So God is loving, and what is the most loving thing God can do? Send his son Jesus to die for us and then point us in the right direction. That he did. Number eight is this. What happens when a person dies? When the person dies, what happens to that person? The body goes to the grave and the spirit to eternity. I want to read a verse to you that's not on your outline in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When a person dies, their body goes to the grave and then their spirit goes to eternity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on our heavenly bodies and we will not be spirits without bodies. So, the Bible teaches for those that know Jesus Christ, when we die, we go to be in eternity, we go to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God said he was going to prepare a place for us? And it's there and he's preparing it and God keeps his promises. He didn't make promises at certain times and then decide to change his mind. God keeps his promises. So when a person dies, his body goes to the grave and their spirit goes to eternity. And it goes to one or two places, either heaven or hell. Number 9, hell is the destination for those who reject Jesus. People choose hell. We have to understand that. Hell is the destination for those who reject Jesus. People choose hell. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, it's on your outline, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. I want you to think about this for just a minute. And I know that we're digging deep, and I know we're stretching and maybe even stretching some comfort zones a little bit. But if we can't pick and choose what we want to believe in the Scriptures. I can't pick and choose to believe certain things that God says in his word, but then not believe other things. If I don't believe what Jesus says about hell, then how can I believe anything else he says? Amen? So Jesus is the truth, and he tells us the truth. So what Jesus teaches, I can believe. And Jesus had much to say about hell. We just read this parable. This man dies who lived a wicked life. The Bible says he ends up in hell, and there's some very tragic things that happen in that place. We'll look at a couple of them here in just a minute. John chapter 3, verse 36 says this, anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. So, number 10 then is this. And where we get this from, where we get number 10 from, is this story of this parable that Jesus just told about the rich man and Lazarus. Hell is a place of torment. The man describes in this parable, this place of torment. It's so miserable there that he's begging for a drop of water for his tongue. This is not a pleasant place. Hell is a place of torment. We need to understand that. Why would people not want to talk about hell? Why would people not want to deal with the reality of hell? Because it's not fun. It's not fun. Isn't that true? I don't want anybody to end up in hell. You know, I thought about why most people object to the teaching of hell. Why do most people object to the teaching of hell? Here's why. It has been used throughout history as a tool of manipulation, unfortunately. It was used by religious people as a threat. If you don't this, you'll do this. If you don't this, you'll do this. I remember, and I've told some of you this story before, it's a true story. Right before I went into the Marine Corps, my grandfather gave me a car. And he was so concerned about me because I was such a heathen that I don't know where he found the Bible, where he found the bumper sticker, but he got a bumper sticker and he put it on the bumper of that Gran Torino and it said, read the Bible, it will scare the hell, and hell was in quotations, out of you. So he somehow thought that if he put this bumper sticker on my car, that it would scare hell out of me. That was unfortunately what a lot of people have done. Instead of packing the bag the right way, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus wants to spend eternity with you. Jesus wants you to be in the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And instead of teaching it that way, it was used as a scare tactic. How many of you experienced the scare tactic of hell growing up? I did. And what it did is it turned me off. It turned me off because ignorantly, not knowing God, not knowing what his word teaches, not knowing what Jesus came to do for me, I thought, God created me and then he's going to send me to hell? And unfortunately, we have a world out there that believes that way. And it's because hell has been used or misused, I should say, to threaten and intimidate people. So what do? The best thing we can do is teach the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is hell was created by God, not for people. It wasn't created for people. The Bible says it was created for Satan and the demons. That's what it was created for in the first place. That's what hell was created for. So here's this, hell is this place of torment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 30 says this, "Throw the useless servant into utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And again, I want you to read these in context. Remember, we're going to study the Bible for a month, so we're going to take notes, we're going to unpack, you're going to read on your own, do a little bit of research so that at the end of June, we walk away fully confident that somebody talks to us about heaven or hell or different beliefs, we're going to know exactly what the Bible teaches. Matthew chapter 25, the same chapter, verse 41, the Bible says, "The king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons.'" It's a place of torment. It's a place of torture. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, "And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." So hell is a horrible, horrible, horrible place. God doesn't send anyone there. Amen? Amen. Number 11. Hell is a place of eternal separation. Hell is a place of eternal separation. It's what it is. It's eternal separation from God. It's hard with our finite minds to wrap our brains around something like eternity. It's hard to grasp something like that. So what do? We have to grasp it by faith. So much so like we do with the other teachings in the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is impossible to please God without faith. So we stand on His Word and say, "God, I'm standing on Your Word and I'm trusting that Your Word is clear and it's concise and it's precise about what You say about eternity." And then I choose that. And I say, not only am I going to walk that way, but as an ambassador for Christ, as God is ministering through me, I am going to share that truth with other people. I don't ever want to, you know, I have this picture in my mind, the marriage supper of the Lamb, this gigantic table in heaven. I don't know if it's going to be like this. This is the picture I have, my simple thinking. There's going to be this table in heaven. Jesus, King Jesus, is going to be at the head of the table. And all around this table, millions and millions and trillions and I don't know how many people. But I've had this thought before. I don't want there to be an empty seat at that table because of me. I don't want there to be an empty seat at that table because I had my bag packed with the truth. And I know the truth. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. There's only one way to God, the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. And I have that packed in my bag because I know that. Because in this church for the last 30 years, I have learned and I have been taught the truth of the Scriptures. But the reality of it is not everybody is as fortunate as we are. And so what we have to do is we have to help people unpack the garbage that's been put in their bag. Help them unpack that garbage, get rid of that garbage, and then start putting the stuff in there that's true. Hell is a place of eternal separation. That's not pretty. You can't package it pretty. You can't make it sound pretty, but that's the truth. Why did Jesus come to die? To give His life a ransom for many so that we might be eternally in relationship with Him. I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for that? So thankful that I get to spend eternity with Jesus. But here's the truth. If there is no hell, Jesus is a teacher but not a savior. Think about that. If there is no hell, Jesus is a teacher but not a savior. Why would He die? Why would He die? Why would He give His life for us if it wasn't necessary? But He gave His life for us, our Savior, because He wants us to spend eternity with Him. How about if we finish the message? Remember, this is an outline. Talk a little bit about heaven. Is that okay? Say yes. Say thank you. That'd be a better way to go out tonight. So, number 12 then is this. Heaven is the place the Father resides. That's where the Father is. When the disciples said, "Jesus, how should we pray?" Jesus said, "Pray like this," in Matthew chapter 6, very beginning of the ministry. Pray like this: "Our Father in heaven." Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father resides in heaven. He's up there. Jesus is seated at his right hand, and he loved us so much that he said, I'm going to put my Holy Spirit right inside of you. So there's this eternal connection, and there's this eternal bond between us, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, God who resides in heaven, Jesus who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and now I'm packing my bag and I'm heading that way. And I'm going that way, and I'm going to keep going that way, and I'm going to keep going that way, and I'm going to ask everybody to follow me that way. And I'm going to do it confidently because I know it's the right way. I promise you this, there are people out there with some other views of eternity that are confident that are going that way. And as confident as they are, they're wrong. Is it okay to say wrong in church? They're dead wrong. They are wrong. And we need to make sure that people that we love and care about understand that they are wrong. And how do we know? Not because it's an idea we make up in our mind or create, but because our Bible teaches it to us. Amen? Amen. Number 13. Heaven is a place or will be a place prepared for believers. I love that. I love the thought that God went before me in Jesus. Jesus went before me. Here's what he says in John chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you can always be where I am. Now, if that does not comfort us, nothing will, right? I mean, God went, Jesus resurrected from the dead. He went into eternity to prepare a place for us. He's coming back for us. He's going to come back for us, and he's going to take us to be where he is. What a day that'll be when Jesus will see. That is going to be a wonderful day. There are people, there are good people that you know that are lost. There are good people that you know that are going to hell. There are good people that I know that are going to hell. Because there's no gray area. There's no, I was right on the cut line. There is none of that. There's only one way to God, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the promised destination for those that trust in that is eternity. And so over the next month, we're going to unpack this, and we're going to show you how in the scriptures we can rightly divide that in such a way and in a practical way that we can teach it to people that we love and teach it to people that we care about, because people need to hear this. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand tonight.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.